In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have told this story before, but I like it. There is, or was, fortunately it's no longer being published, a magazine called The Wittenberg Door. And it bills itself as pretty much the world's only religious satire magazine. And it was awesome. All kind of wonderful stories in it. And its publisher and chief editor, Ole Anderson was his name, used to have Bible studies at the offices of the Wittenberg Door. It was in a strip mall in Texas. And there was a lawyer's office next door. And after Ole died, they interviewed people who knew him, and they asked the lawyer for a story. And he said, well, you know, my office was right next to the offices for the door, and they would have Bible study once a week. And one day, I heard them yelling in Bible study, doors slamming, and then a car cranks up outside and peels out, throwing gravel behind it. Being curious, I went next door and asked what was going on. He said, well, we were having Bible study. I said, well, yeah, but why all the noise? He said, well, we were talking about the church being the body of Christ, and we're each members of the body. And I told one fellow that his role in the body was to be a pimple on the butt of the body of Christ, and he took offense. We are part of the body of Christ. It's imagery that St. Paul uses often in his writings, including today from chapter 12. And his point is that we are all different, and yet we're all called together. Now, I certainly don't think anyone here is playing the role of pimple on the butt of the body of Christ. We each have our roles, though. We each bring things to the table. We each have parts to play. And there's no greater grandeur for one part than another. It doesn't matter what gifts and talents we've been given. What matters is that we share them for growing the body of Christ, for furthering God's kingdom, for bringing heaven down to earth and making it real for people right here, right now. We're called to share our multitude of gifts. We each do things. Some things we do well, some things not so well. There are a lot of things I do not do well. There's one or two I do okay, and I try to offer those up, but we each bring something. And there's not greater glory to one thing. In other parts, Paul talks about, does an arm say I'm not as good as a foot, or a foot say I'm not as... It doesn't matter. There's no greater glory for one part of the body than the other. What's important is that we all bring it together, that we form the body of Christ. I find it interesting that he calls faith a gift, that prophecy is in proportion of faith, and not everyone is a prophet. Not everyone has the same amount of faith. It's a very good thing, actually, because there are all times when our faith ebbs, and sometimes when it's there in abundance. But we share in one another's faith. We can draw comfort and strength and support from each other. At least, that's the ideal. That's what we should be working towards. That each one of us can turn to anyone else here and find strength and comfort. I'm not sure that always happens. Some people we know better than others. We have more of a history with, perhaps, or we're related to them. But ideally, it wouldn't matter that each one of us could turn to any other one of us and find strength and comfort and love and understanding. That's what we work towards. And it's not going to happen by our own devices. It is only through the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit that's going to happen, at least for me. The rest of you may be better, I'm sure. But we have to be open to that power of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength and the love and the compassion to be that way for one another, to avoid judgment, to avoid ridicule, to avoid those awful, nasty things that happen so often. I am sure there are things for each one of us that we could not imagine telling someone else unless we had an incredible relationship based upon years of trust and faithfulness. And that's what we're shooting for. And yeah, it's ridiculous, it's pie in the sky, it's Pollyanna, it's hopeless optimism, but it's the goal. That we live our lives, that we interact with each other in such a way that we have that relationship. Strengthened through the Holy Spirit, strengthened through the power of God Himself. When Jesus and the boys were taking a little break, going to Caesarea Philippi, we talked about Caesarea this morning in Sunday school. We're kind of looking at a history of the world to see where things fit in. And today we got to the founding of Caesarea by Herod the Great, the guy who was king when Jesus was born. Caesarea, named for Caesar, obviously enough. It was a completely and thoroughly Gentile city. And then Philippi is about as Greek as you can get. So Caesarea Philippi, there were not many Jews around at all. So Jesus goes there on retreat. He's not going to be surrounded by crowds. There's not going to be throngs of people, except for the one Canaanite woman we read about last week. But here they are, separated out. And he's taking stock. Hey, guys, I'm always up front, you know, teaching and everything. Y'all are working the crowd. What do people say? Who do they think that I am? Yeah, well, you know, someone say you might be John the Baptist. I mean, I know your cousins and all, but he's dead, and maybe you're him again. I don't know. They're talking like that. Or Elijah, you know, he's a big guy. Maybe you're him, one of the other prophets. Okay, I can see that. But you guys, you're with me all the time. You know me. Who do you say that I am? And I want to imagine them kind of putting their eyes down. Don't look. Don't make eye contact. Maybe you won't call on me. It's the teacher in me, I suppose. Hey, Peter, you say something. You're always got something to say. And it hits him. I mean, I want to see this as a divine revelation as it's described here. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. This realization that it comes to him in a flash. Not because he carefully thought it out. There is nothing in Scripture that tells us that Peter carefully thought out anything. But it comes to him, and he realizes, and Christ tells him, flesh and blood have not told this to you. This has been revealed to you by God's Holy Spirit. And that's incredible faith. You know what? I'm going to call you Rocky. And on this rock, I will build my church. Now, it sounds better in Greek. Peter, Petros. No one would go to St. Rocky's Basilica for church, I don't think. But that's what he's saying, on this rock. Now, Roman Catholics and Protestants look at this differently. Roman Catholics see this as the founding of the papacy, that Peter is the rock, and that upon that is founded the church. And when he's given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, if you look at the papal shield, there's a set of keys on there. So while we have all those jokes about Peter standing at the gate of heaven, he's the one given the keys. Protestants look at it differently. They see the confession itself as being the rock of the church, that Jesus is the Christ. We Anglicans really don't mention it. Believe what you want to about it is okay. Just understand the truth of the matter. The confession, the telling of a truth that Peter gives, that Jesus is the Christ. And interestingly enough, Jesus tells them sternly, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone I'm the Messiah. Maybe, probably, because they didn't really understand what Messiah meant. Certainly, Peter didn't. I mean, two verses later, Jesus is telling them what it means to be the Messiah, that he'll go to Jerusalem, that he'll be betrayed, they'll be handed over and killed, and then rise again in 3 days. And all Peter hears is handed over and killed and starts going, no, Jesus, don't say things like that. We can prevent that. And Jesus has to tell the rock, get behind me, Satan. He goes from being the rock to being the accuser, to being the tempter. So easy to do. We all bring things to the church. We all bring things to the body of Christ. Peter brought great faith, steadfastness, the rock, and yet also brought misunderstanding, temptation, denial. One of the great things about Scripture is that it doesn't really whitewash anything. It tells the bare truth as they know it. It doesn't try to make Peter out to be better than he was or any of the disciples. All the heroes of the Old Testament, David, who had this guy murdered so he could steal his wife, Moses, who killed an Egyptian in a fight, they're not whitewashed. They don't take away that story. But it shows that God can use even them. And if God can use someone like Peter, whose faith went up and down, who could walk on water one second and sink like the rock he was the next, who could pledge devotion to Christ at the Last Supper and within hours deny him three times, and yet be the rock of the church, then surely God can use us, can use you, can use me of all people to further God's kingdom. We each bring something. We each have gifts and talents to offer. May God give us the grace to fully offer these things that we've been given to the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.